Good morning. John Maxwell wrote in his book that's entitled Be a People Person, Mr. Myrick had to go to Chicago on business and persuaded his brother to take care of his cat during his absence. Though he hated cats, the brother agreed. Upon his return, Mr. Myrick called from the airport to check on the cat. Your cat died, the brother reported, and then he hung up. Well, Mr. Myrick was inconsolable. His grief was magnified by his brother's insensitivity, so he called back to express his pain. There was no need for you to be so blunt, he said. Well, what was I supposed to say? Asked the perplexed brother. You could have broken the news gradually, he explained. You could have said the cat was playing on the roof, and then later in the conversation you could have said he fell off, and then you could have said he broke his leg, and then when I came to pick him up you could have said I am so sorry your cat passed away during the night. You've got to learn to be more tactful. By the way, how's Mom? After a long pause, the brother replied, she's playing on the roof. Last week we began a series of sermons on the things that God hates. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me again to where we were reading, and it was found over in the sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs, verses 16 through 19. Again, Proverbs chapter 6. Beginning in verse 16. And it read like this. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Well, last week we examined the first of those sins, the sin of pride. Today we're going to look at the second of these sins, the sin of lying, as we've noted up here on the overhead. So in a sense, we're combining number two and number six of the list of seven. Proverbs 6:17, a lying tongue, and down in verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. So what do we say about lying? Well, I think the first thing we say about lying is it is really easy to commit. Let me give you some statistics. 91% of people they surveyed say they lie routinely. 75% said they lied to their best friends regularly. 86% of teenagers say they lie to their parents. 31% of spouses lie about an affair that they might be having over the last year. 32% said that they wouldn't report a $2,000 cash side job to the IRS. 58% say they've called in sick to get a day off work. So what can we say? Sin is really easy to do. And we justify our sin of lying by saying to ourselves, well, it's not going to hurt anybody, or everyone lies, so why can't I lie, or it's just a little white lie. Austin O'Mallory wrote, those who believe it's all right to tell a little white lie soon go colorblind. Jeffrey Richards wrote, lying is, in my opinion, the only fault whose birth and progress we should consistently oppose. It grows with a child's growth. And once the tongue has got the knack of lying, it is difficult to imagine how impossible it is to correct it. Well, we learned last week that God hates sin. And one of the sins we're learning this week that he hates is the sin of lying. You might want to turn. It's a beautiful short proverb over in chapter 12, verse 22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Like I say, lying is easy. So what's so dangerous about lying? Besides the ramifications that it can have in your own personal life, lying is something that will eventually corrupt a person, leaving them insensitive to all kinds of sin. One of Satan's favorite tricks is trying to convince us that sin is really not that big a deal. And so we think a little white lie is just that, harmless, insignificant. But God's clear through his word, and especially what we're reading and studying this morning. He hates, detests lying. It's in our best interest to be a truth teller. So, what else can we say about lying? Well, I think we can say that lying hurts our relationships. We're going to talk about three characters. One of them is King Saul. One of them is a collection of people. It is Joseph's brothers. And the last is Cain. You know about those stories. But let's recall for a moment what each of those teaches us. The first one is lying will hurt our relationship with our friends. If you have your Bibles, we're over in the book of 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter. We have two characters here to consider. One is King Saul. And then the other is Samuel. Samuel was a friend of King Saul. But because of what ends up happening in the life of King Saul, the relationship between the king and between Samuel becomes hurt. Let me begin in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Pretty plain. We might say that's harsh, but that's the word of God through Samuel to King Saul. Let's look down beginning in verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Now let's look at verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Liar, 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 liar. You didn't follow God's instructions. Saul chose to lie to his friend Samuel, and the outcome was the decay of their relationship. Let's pick it up in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 15. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Lying is one of those things that we can always choose not to do. It is a choice that you need to make in your life, because your relationship with your friends can hang in the balance. Let's consider the second group of people we talked about, Joseph's brothers. In looking at their story, we see that lying also hurts her relationship within her own family. You remember the story. Joseph's brothers were incredibly jealous. The pride that we talked about last week. The attention that Jacob was receiving from their father, therefore not going to them. So to rid them of this problem, they devised a plan. They're going to sell their brother Joseph to a traveling group of traders, thinking that they would never see him again. Pretty ingenious idea. But they needed to lie about what happened to their father Jacob to cover up what they have done. So if you want to follow me, I'm over in the book of Genesis, in the 37th chapter, beginning in verse 31. Genesis 37, beginning in verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Liar, 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 liar. If your dad knew the tale, boys, that you were about to tell, he would do a lot more than tan your hide. Sell your brother. Bring a blood-covered coat that you know belonged to him, along with the story. "I don't know what happened, Dad." What reaction would you expect if you had concocted that concerning your siblings? Let's pick up the story in verse 33. And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." And then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons and his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. I don't think the boys expected Dad to mourn that long. I don't think they expected that kind of reaction. And I just, as I keep reading that over and over, saying, I wonder what they said when they went to Dad to comfort him. I don't know whether the daughters knew about it, but surely the boys did. There was a deep wedge now in the relationship between these sons that had committed this hideous sin and their father. Lying is one of those things that we can always choose not to do. It's a choice that you need to make in your life. Your relationship with your family can hang in the balance. And important, more important than both of those we've discussed, there's a third thing to think about. And we find it in the story of Cain, and that is lying will hurt your relationship with God. We saw that really in the background of what was happening with Saul and Samuel. Turn over to the book of Genesis in the 4th chapter. Let's refresh our memory of what it says about Cain and Abel. Beginning in verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it's desirous for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Not a lot of brotherly love in that story, is there? Just as there wasn't in the case of Joseph and his brothers. Fell prey to jealousy, back to the pride we talked about. Cain became jealous of his younger brother because the offering that he had made to the Lord was more acceptable, and I don't know the story behind why. But I'm sure Cain knew. Not only did Cain commit this terrible act of murdering his own brother, but then let's see what he did next. Back in Genesis 4, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Liar, 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 liar. You know darn well where your brother is. You killed him. You know exactly where you buried him, if you did. How can you come face to face with God and lie? Cain chose to lie to God about his sin, which immediately drove a wedge between him and God. Let's look at verse 10 through 12. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, so now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Cursed are you. Get out of my presence. You're a man now with no home. Go, and the sweat of your brow, for the ground will not yield up for you. Lying is one of those things that we can choose not to do. It's a choice that you need to make in your life because your relationship with God could hang in the balance. Concluding thought. It occurs to me that sometimes we lie to our friends. Sometimes we lie to our family. Sometimes we lie to God. But sometimes we lie to ourselves. We say to ourselves things like, I'm going to quit that sin that's plagued me for so long. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to Bible, and I'm going to learn more about what God wants me to do and how he wants me to live, and I'm going to be an example to my friends and to my family and to all. I'm going to get right with God, do what he asks, live as he wants me to live, walk where he wants me to walk, and do more. Have you ever said those things to yourself? Did I hear no? Need I say, liar, 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 liar? We've all said those things to ourselves or something like it sometime in our life. What keeps us from doing what we know we must do and should do? Nothing. Nothing but the lies that we tell ourselves. I can't quit smoking. I can't quit whatever it is that is my addiction. Too hard. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to learn more of God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When I am not so busy. When my kids are raised and out of the house. When I have some free time. When I'm not so tired. Tomorrow, next week, next year, when life is more settled. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to do what He asks. I'm going to live like He wants me to live. Someday. We keep lying to ourselves. Quit lying to yourself about your obedience to God. Because now is the only time we have. For those who know us, Trisha and I, we had three kids. John, Sherry, Scott. And then those prime years, if you haven't got them or didn't have them during these years, you don't know what I'm talking about. When they're in middle school and high school and they're sitting in the back seat of the car messing with each other, you begin to get arguments. First, always getting into it with his older sister, Sherry. We would just hear him hollering from the front seat to one another. And then somewhere in the middle of that conversation, Scott would throw up, liar, 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 liar. And you know where liars go. That was his phrase. Liars go to hell, he said to his sister. He was paraphrasing. You might want to write it down. It's over in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, verse 8. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, I don't think he wanted his sister to go to hell, but that's the conversations that happened often when one was catching the other in a lie. I don't want to go there. I don't want my friends to go there. I don't want you to go there. I don't want anyone to go there. I want us to learn to live with what God loves and not with what God hates. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need to come to Christ through your faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that faith, before God and before witnesses, by being immersed, we can arrange to do that right now or today or whenever. And to rise and walk to do what He loves, not what He hates. Come if you will as we stand today.